gonna go to court before I got high. Ooh, I was gonna pay my child support, but then I got high.
No, you wasn't.
They took my whole paycheck, and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, hey, because I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high. La da 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 da. I wasn't.
Raheem, Raheem, Raheem. You definitely got us high of a Monday. It's the Day Trippers. Now, Trev again, and the bunker actually has a win to talk about. So times are a changing, my friends. Times are a changing. We've very much got a win to talk about, and some of the mayhem and madness that went on with it has got lots of stuff going and lots of hairs up and back. And then we have the semi with Timmy Tactics to get into. Well, I don't know where we can start with that one, but once it ends up with a win and another trip to Wembley, that'll be the main thing. Tonight, joining me, Phil Casey, I've got Paul Brennan, the man who was actually at the game on Monday. That's right, a day tripper at the game. We believe he purchased a Newcastle and Liverpool half and half scarf, and he's due to bring it in and wear it around his neck. We've also got the man with the stories, Mr. Andy Young. So, and finally, we have the fellow with the worst quiff in Europe. It's Neil Gray. So come on, journey with me through time and space as we take a walk through the bunker of Tripperdom.
There you go.
Trev, where are you?
I'm not used to this. I get him on Skype. He's not allowed in the electrical devices.
Fucking back off, so watch out his brother's name.
Chuck Downey. Right, so a win, lads. And it was a win. And it was, back to back wins now going into the FA Cup semi final. But, you know, with City's loss, does it give us a bit of hope? Is there a glimmer? Is it, you know, could top four be on? Are we banking on a City collapse here, Andy?
Yeah, well, like, no, it's nice to know that there might be something to play for. There's a little bit of hope. Like, you know, ironically, United have kind of given Liverpool a bit of a lifeline. And, you know, City look like they could be beaten by anyone. Mm. It's just, you know, it's down to whether we can actually go on and win not all the games, but even most of them. Yeah, it could be possible. But just Monday night wouldn't give you a hell of a lot of hope. Mm. I mean, they had a really, really poor team came to Anfield to be destroyed, and Liverpool just didn't step up and do what they should have done to them. It would have been a statement, and unfortunately, they didn't make that statement.
Okay. Well, we'll get into the performance in a bit, but Neil, are you feeling positive? Is there anything? Is there anything to grasp?
Yeah,
from
well,
this?
It's a semi-cup semi-final coming up the weekend, isn't it? I'm fairly positive about that. I think we'll win that, and we'll progress to the final.
But more so on top four hopes.
Given on top four, listen, I don't expect us to drop points before the end of the season. So maybe three, like thinking of the Chelsea game in particular. So that's a 7-point deficit. Mm. There's no way we're going to sit here. We're going to lose that. What's there, 8 games left? Is there?
No, there's six.
I can't see it happening. There's a little bit of hope there. It's vain hope. It'll keep the interest going till towards the end of the season, but I can't see it happening in all honesty.
Yeah.
I mean, Saturday, I mean, the game on Monday will hardly give you much hope, like Andy said. Like, they were there to be beaten. We battered them for 40 minutes. They came into it then for another half an hour, and then we took over again, but we couldn't put it away. But at the same time, it's 3 points you need at this stage of the season, and that's what we got.
And I suppose all runs of form have to start somewhere. Paul, you were there. Were you feeling confident coming out of the ground?
Yeah, I didn't think it was that bad of a performance. Obviously, we could have hockeyed them with more. Sterling could have had a hat trick, like, and we could have put a few more goals away. But yeah, other than that, you know, Newcastle had a kind of period, probably 15 minutes either side of the half time. Like, that was it. Like, yeah, we could have beaten them by more, but I was happy enough with it. And I don't think we're gonna catch City. Like Neil says, like, it's we're gonna draw points, and like, unless they have some huge collapse, like, we're not gonna it's like, it is nice to kind of see how we can finish the season, see if we can put a bit of pressure on them, but I don't think we're gonna catch them.
I suppose, and let me play devil's advocate here, because I don't normally play that role, but we're talking about this, we're looking at our own form now. If you go to the Arsenal United games and take them out of it, the run of form that we've been on, is crazy. You know, remove those Arsenal United
it's
losses.
Eh?
It is remarkable, right? Mm-hmm. And obviously, when you lose back-to-back games, you will lose a bit of confidence in the whole lot. Did none of you feel it in the performance? It was a much better attacking performance. This is going into the performance itself, Andy. Like, when we look at City, and the reason why I asked this question straight out is because City's run of form is almost the complete opposite of ours. We've made up nearly 17 points in City since Christmas, you know? Mm. And they just aren't winning games. Like, going back to your own favourite one about the 2 points per game average. Yeah. City are nowhere near that at the moment, yet we're in and around the 2 points per game from Christmas onwards, you know? So that's why I'm looking at, there is a glimmer that wasn't there before. Now, it's interesting that you mentioned performance, because performance gives fans confidence, and if you don't have performances, you don't have confidence. What for you then was the disappointment part of it? Because, and I'll probably load it a bit in terms of asking you, you've always been a big advocate of a really mobile front three.
Yeah.
And if you look at that first half, especially the first half in the last 20 minutes or so, it was very mobile and it was making chances.
Yeah, no, I'm not. There's nothing about that. It's like, Rodgers found something in the 3-4-2-1 kind of thing that got us going for a while. And like a lot of spells under Rodgers, something worked for a while and then Swansea kind of figured it out, and it kind of just went downhill from there. We are badly beaten by United. Well, you know, okay, we could have got something out of it, but yeah. And we're definitely badly beaten by Arsenal. But he's abandoned that now, and he's actually went to something that I was scared of calling for before, that more of a flat back four, and you know, more bodies up forward and busy. And the way Sturridge has been playing, you probably wouldn't have him near the team even if he was fit. So I was happy to see them up there, but I was just disappointed that we didn't put them to bed. They did start off quite attacking. I felt this is the formation, this is the shape, and this is the potential for a night where we can blow this team away. Because
yeah.
I knew, I'd seen Newcastle and everybody knew how bad they were and how bad their manager is and all that. And I was just disappointed that it was a game that we could have just put. We haven't put sort of 5 or 6 goals past anyone this season. Mm. You know what I mean? Sterling's the top scorer there with 7 or something like that. You know, it was with City getting beaten by United, it gives Liverpool a real opportunity, and I just didn't look like a team that believed that this is on again.
Mm.
And the fans of this, you know, didn't seem like they felt like it was on again. So that's what just has me a little bit down. But if I see something, you know, if I see a real performance on Sunday against Villa and then the following week, then I can start believing again. But just right now at this present moment, I don't think Liverpool are going to do their part. I think City are definitely going to drop enough points for Liverpool to catch them. But it's about Liverpool giving.
Catching them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Neil?
I think there's a little element that, listen, those fans are never happy. And many times particularly this end of the season, lower down in the league, where they're kind of safe, just come to Anfield, and we can't put them away. Like, we did put them away. We took the 3 points, and at this end of the season, that's all that really matters. I know what Andy's saying, the performance wasn't there, we didn't score loads of goals, but is that really relevant now? Because we're not going to catch City's goals difference anyway.
Yeah,
we got the 3 points, that's all that matters. We're still in it. Like, if it keeps us entertained till the last two or three, to the last two games, I'm happy. I mean, what more can you want? 3 points, 2-0. I wasn't that excited watching. I was a little bit bored watching, actually. But at the same time, sure, what more we got? There's only ever 3 points available.
Yeah, but like, I'm probably hinting at my own view, but Paul, performance-wise, was it not light years, in terms of an attacking performance, was it not light years away from what we've seen in the last three games, and even the Blackburn game? Because going back to Andy's point, that was another absolutely shy team, and we weren't creating chances at all. It was, you know, it was a narrow win that we managed to pull out of. But this one, we were making chances.
Yeah, you know? I think the Blackburn game was always going to be a horrible one, like a cup tie away like that. Especially after the two games we just had, I think it was always going to be kind of a bit of a slog. I remember we were talking on WhatsApp about what we should do in the Arsenal game, and I said that it was the last time I wanted to see, you know, the 3-4-3 for definite. I said that I didn't think we should be kind of married to it now that teams kind of figured out how to play against it. So I was happy enough to see another 4-3-3. I think you could tell. There was a lot more fluidity in the front three with those three mobile players up top. Sturridge, that's for me, you have to try and get him into the team. But like, it is a big problem at the moment. Like, how would you? Because like, you'd almost say like you'd play that front three again in the next game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's another one for Rodgers to try and figure out. But I was happy enough with.
Do you think he's dropped the 3 centre-halves thing, or is that just necessity?
I think he'll go back to it the weekend once he has Skirtle available, because I don't think there was enough. If looking at the overall performance, I think attacking wise we performed a lot better than we have done, but defensively I thought we were a lot weaker than we'd looked for a while. Against what you're saying is it was a poor Newcastle side. But let's deal with the really positive aspects of the performance.
Coutinho.
Because Andy, I know you're really excited about Coutinho when you're watching the game.
Yeah.
And let's be honest about it, the fella played in a, you know, the false nine position as such. And he just lit up that first half, and even his impact in the second half was just magical, like, you know. You know, how good is he? Look, we've talked about him all season. As an attacking player, he's by far and away our best attacking player over the course of the season. But how good in a position that's not really what you would have put him into this false nine? How good was he there?
Yeah, but he, like, on paper he was sort of the most furthest forward. But like, he kind of just played his own role anyway. He dropped very deep, you know. He got on the ball. He turned. He'd space. Like, he finds space no matter where he is. Like, he's absolutely quality. Like, I mean, I remember at the start of the season we were talking about with Suarez gone, like, he was going to take over the mantle, and I mean, we all pretty much agreed this could be the season for Coutinho, and he has stepped up on a level, and like, he does pose an extra goal threat, and I just think it's brilliant to have a player of such quality at the club. Like, you know, when you lose big players like Suarez, you expect and you hope that's not it. But like, there's still some real quality, and Coutinho, there's no one better, really, you know, to kind of get you excited. I mean, when he did that backheel, I just laughed my head off.
Is that the backheel that he kind of nutmegged someone with a backheel?
Yeah,
wasn't it?
Three players just followed him, and next thing the ball was gone the other way.
Yeah,
I mean, that's what it's all about, football, for me. Like, it's just giving you that piece of entertainment in the game, and you'd watch him all day.
Yeah, and I suppose, Neil, taking that on, like, you know, we've seen John Terry, that bastion of English football.
I don't know what you're going to say.
Talk about him being his player of the year.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Like,
yeah.
You know, this is the impact that Coutinho is having on the league. You know, players are starting to recognise his ability. What does it say in terms of what he's bringing all the time to
well, the
game?
First thing I think it might say is, like, the he's compared to Hazard, and John Terry picked him ahead of Eden Hazard. I mean, that speaks volumes for me. Like, you know, I think we're a little bit afraid to say sometimes how good he is, because in case someone comes and takes him off us. But yeah, so he's the, well, I was watching the match with a mate when we were watching it, we were saying, who do you think is player of the season? And then he done that little thing. It was just, Coutinho is. What are we even talking about it for? You know what I mean? And kind of every 10 minutes you're kind of ewing and ahhing about watching him, aren't you? He kind of gets you going. And yeah, like you said, it's entertainment, doesn't it? Yeah, he's brilliant. And there's another level for him to go up again, isn't it? Like, you can see him progressing. Like, from where he was, remember he had that dip mid-season? And I was thinking, is he going to, will he be able to go back up to that level? But there's even more to come, I think. Like, it's exciting. These are exciting times. And he's outshone Sterling this year, definitely, anyway. But that's more to that. Sterling's fault, I think, on the hash pipe. Or what was it, shisha pipe?
The Antinox.
Well, given that we're on to Raheem, the dream machine. Come here, Paul. When I saw the story on Telegraph or whatever, when they published it, I was confused. I thought he was actually inhaling that stuff that they stick in cars, you know, what's it, the nitrous?
Nitrous oxide? Fast and the Furious stuff?
That's fucking performance.
Well, nitrous oxide.
That's laughing gas, isn't it? Nitrous oxide, yeah.
And that's what they stick into the cars. I'm not into cars.
They put in cars.
No, what's
that? They might put the.
No, it's the same stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, but like that what he was, the laughing gas is a mixture, 70% nitrous oxide and the 30% oxygen.
Okay, you don't put the pure gear in, no.
No, well, because you'd
explode.
You'd
collapse. Because it'll kill you.
I run really fast.
You wouldn't be inhaling any oxygen, so.
True that. Yeah. Okay.
You know what I mean? You'd end up just passing out. And it could kill you. But it's like, when I read the story, like, look, I know all about that medication, and I know it's dangerous and it's addictive, and it's a substance that it's not to be abused. You know what I mean? It's like, when I read that story, I was disgusted. What is a fella 21 years of age with the world at his feet going around abusing a medical gas? What's that all about? That makes no sense to me.
Well, Paul, do you want to surmise why he's out having a bit of crack?
No idea. Like, I was basically off the grid for the weekend. I was only figuring this out. Like,
you weren't with me. Was it Liverpool?
Yeah, he got thrown out of a few clubs with us. I only saw it. And then, you know, the pipe thing as well. Mm. Like, I only found out about the two of those things at the same time. And like Andy said, like, your reaction is, what the fuck is he doing? Like, why is he at that? Even if it's just with mates or anything like that. Like, just...
Is it too much of a coincidence, though, it's all happening around the contract talks? Does he want to get out? Am I just being
I think his agent, I don't think
that, like, that's not going to help him if he wants to move. Like, because clubs will look at that. They don't want it, someone that's going to have a mad social life.
I don't know. Look at Suarez. He was going around biting people and everybody.
Yeah, but that was on the pitch.
But Suarez is mad. You know, like, he didn't...
I
don't think there's any type of morals in football or any way clubs buying players or anything like that. Or agents. I don't think morals count for anything.
The thing about it is, I just compare all, you know, young players, like, to say Gerrard, right? You know, he comes in the scene, like, he wasn't as clean himself, but he wasn't going around acting the bollocks in his personal life, you know, like that. Okay, he threw in a few mental challenges on the pitch and all that, but it was just kind of youthful exuberance, you know. But, like, Sterling has shown no respect to the club. Like, the club have gave him everything, you know what I mean? And he must be surrounded in people trying to keep him on the straight and narrow since he's arrived. And even when he was at QPR as a youngster, he must have been surrounded in the right people.
But taking that, Andy, right, and I understand, and I don't really have an issue with the point that you're making, that it is for a professional football, professional athlete, right? Yeah. It's not the most ideal way, no matter how harmful or how harmless the substance he's using is. It's not going to improve your performance level. He did have a decent performance, though, on Monday night.
Yeah, but he did. But, like, can you imagine what he would be like if he just parks that? You know, that sort of scene that he's in, smoking them pipes and all that. Look, I know it's not. I don't want to sound like fucking El Granda and all, but he's not a normal young fella. He's playing for Liverpool Football Club. He's looking to be paid 150 grand a week. You have to make sacrifices. Look at Jordan Spieth at the weekend. 21 years of age, winning the US Masters. You hardly think he's smoking pipes and fucking smoking medical gas or blowing medical gas like at the weekends.
Well, we don't know.
You just have to listen to the fella.
Well, hang on. Had somebody said the same about, like, Tiger Woods and what he was up to in his private life?
He was up to all sorts of golden boy.
And everyone thought he was the golden boy. What I'm saying to you is...
He was up riding, though, wasn't he?
Yeah, but, like...
Riding lots is different than that. Like, abusing substances.
It would hardly be recommended for the club not to be engaging in sexual intercourse. Like, they'd probably encourage you. You know what I mean? But they're certainly not encouraging, like... Where the fuck did he even get the gas from? Because you don't just go into the shop and buy it.
Probably in the bunker.
Someone had to have got that illegally, and he's hanging around with people like that.
But given, have
a problem with this, Andy? You have, haven't you?
I really do. I don't want to feel like I'm supporting players that are taking the piss out of the club. Like, it's a complete lack of respect to the Liverpool, the club, they're paying them, the fans, and the manager. Like, I really do think he thinks Rodgers is a complete mug now. Do you think the players would have been doing that under Fergie?
Well, they were. Well, they were definitely off out partying, right? I'm just parking the what it was, right? Because you remember there was that time when he had Lee Sharp and Ryan Giggs, and he ended up selling Lee Sharp because he wanted to keep Giggs away from you know, getting having the nightlife.
Came over and got Lee Sharp out of a gaffer down the back of my mass. I swear to God.
Allegedly.
No, he did. Because I was looking out the window. And he sent someone over, and the car came around and got me out of the gaff. Oh, could that be an urban legend?
I'm sure that's going on. Like,
but a lot of players won't make the papers, right? It's the fact that it makes the papers, and it's obviously somebody in his inner circle who's released this video. We're talking about a fella who's looking for a contract negotiation. You have a lot of things that's going on here. I fully buy your bit about a lack of respect, because you know, but at the same time, you've got to ask yourself in real terms, what, there's loads of stuff going on that we won't know about, or we never know, that clubs don't even know about, because it happens in their personal life. Yeah. And if it's not showing up in tests and stuff like that, the clubs don't know what's going on, right? Mm. But yeah, I don't disagree with your point around the lack of respect at all. But going back to the match, did you not think it was one of his better games?
Sterling?
Yeah.
He was all right.
Yeah?
Yeah. He was all right. I mean, the goal was brilliant. I mean, I loved that. It was Suarez-esque, the way he took it down, had the balls to take on practically, you know, three players he sold, you know, and the finish was quality. Mm. But then he had two simpler chances in the game.
Maybe.
He didn't finish them. So it was an okay performance. Like,
Paul.
Yeah, he was in and out of the game. Like he could have really put Newcastle to the sword. He scored a lovely goal and he did cause them problems. But there were like some fairly big periods where he wasn't really in the game at all. Maybe, like, I'm not saying that's because he's like doing whippets or whatever, but he was like, and I think, well, obviously that's kind of natural for a winger anyway. I think like that they will drift in and out of games. Yeah, but like Andy said, it was an alright performance from him. Like he scored a nice goal, he caused him a few problems, but probably should have done better.
If he scores that one, the simple chance he misses, we're probably eulogising and raving about him as much as Coutinho, despite all the shit that goes on. Because he puts two goals in a game as opposed to one.
That's his ratio, though, isn't it? One and three. Yeah. One take one. Even if it's close to that, take one out. Like even if it's that high, it's there's a fundamental technical connection problem with him finishing, isn't there? Like if you look, I was only talking about someone to this the other day. Like if you watch Fowler when he was finishing, it was a perfect connection every time. Sturridge, for example, as well, right? Mm-hmm. Or left foot. His tends to come off his ankle or his shin, or he never connects quite properly. I mean, he's never going to score many goals if that's the technique. It's like he doesn't work on his finishing, is what I would say. He's definitely not a natural finisher anyway, that's for sure. Compared him to, I know there's a lot of talk about Walcott and that. Compared him to Walcott when he gets in and has a chance, like you've... Yeah, he's saying he's going to finish this because he's good finish. I'm not like that with Sterling. It's kind of, will he take it, won't he?
Okay.
Things like that can come. Like, I mean, it's like he's not a natural striker, so he will need a bit more experience. It's composure in front of goal. It's like kind of slowing yourself down and rather than just swinging the leg of the ball. Yeah. That's what he does. Yeah. And that's what a lot of wingers do.
Scoundrel's head.
Yeah. But a lot of midfielders, especially our defenders, even they just swing a leg at it when they get in and goal. Whereas like your strikers, like your Torres and Suarez and Rush, Fowler, like, you know, they got in and goal, and it was just everything stopped for a second.
Yeah, exactly,
around them. Like, it's not 90 miles an hour.
Right, going to the other side then of that attacking tree in Jordan Ibe. What was your take on him? Now, given he'd been out injured for a fair bit, so it was coming straight back in.
I mean, it was an okay game, but like, in fairness, this fella's only coming back and he's a lot less experienced than a lot of the players that were out there, so you can forgive him. But no, he was all right. He didn't have his best game, but 60 solid enough minutes.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure that was the plan from the beginning anyway. And like, the great thing about that is Rodgers, as soon as he's back fit, he has him in the team.
Mm. Paul?
Yeah, I thought he was the quietest anyway out of the front three. I think, like, as a right footer playing on the right, that probably, in the modern game, that probably is harder than like Sterling's job on the left. Like, you know, trying to beat players on the outside. But he did it a few times. And there's a few times when he cut infield as well, where they had to foul him to stop him. So yeah, I think he did well enough considering that he's only just back. Yeah. And it's great to see him kind of like the faith Rodgers has in him, that he'll throw him straight back in, because it would have been easy to start Markovic, but maybe Markovic could have started the game even and he's back in. But I have no problem. I thought it was good to see him thrown straight back in.
He's a different physical specimen to Sterling in the way he plays, isn't he? Look, he's just a much bigger.
Yeah. He's nearly like a fully developed man at this stage, and he's a huge bloke. Yeah. I think with the Ive thing, like, it was, he only got 60 minutes and he done okay. Like, it was a good performance. I think he's still only learning. It's an education for him. And Anfield was particularly quiet, and it was a strange atmosphere in it. And I suppose that was probably hard for him playing in that atmosphere, but because of the games he played before that, everybody was up for it and roaring and shouting. The crowd were completely behind him. The atmosphere was crap, actually. with what I got from watching it on the TV. So that was kind of, it's all just part of the learning curve for him. And it's like the lads were saying, he's straight into the team. Happy days.
Okay, right.
To the detriment of poor Al Markovic, you know.
Let's skip the midfield for a moment and get on to the curate's egg, that's the defence, right? So back to a back four. And, a back four that consisted of Moreno at left full, Lovren, Emery Chan and Glenn Johnson. So, first of all, Mignolet, another good performance from him.
Yeah, I mean, aside from Coutinho, he was the man of the match for me. Like, you know, did everything pretty much right.
Yeah, some great saves as well towards the end of the first half.
Yeah, coming out and claiming balls and commanding his area and all, it's good to see.
Yeah, so long may you continue with that. So let's get on to the four in front of him. And Paul, we'll start with probably the best performer of the four, in that he didn't do anything too mental. Moreno, which probably given his last couple of performances, we would have been a bit wishy-washy as to how he was going to perform in this game.
Yeah, I thought he was kind of steady, probably the steady Eddie of the back four, I'd say. Not a massive, not a great game or anything like that, but considering how he was giving goals away in the kind of two league games previously, that it's a kind of decent return to form for him. Like, you'll take a quiet game over any of that. So yeah, just, he didn't do much wrong, and I thought did well enough.
Yeah. So we move on
to your prepared.
That's a show in itself. So then the next man up who had a reasonably decent game, Emery Chan, a centre midfielder, playing now as an orthodox right centre back, Neil.
Mr. Reliable, isn't he?
Yeah.
You know, like, if it doesn't put in a bad performance, he might put in a bad performance for him is a 7 out of 10, isn't it? I mean, that's the level he's at now. And that's what we've come to expect for him, which says it all about him.
Did you get the sense, when I was watching him, like, the first goal comes from a direct interaction. He comes out, comes about 25 yards, wins the ball and knocks it down. Was it Lucas that he wins the tackle off and it bounces nicely?
The impression
Lucas.
I get off him is he has that aura about him that I'm in charge here. And even I think where I notice it more than anything is in the goal celebrations. No matter where the player is that scored the goal, he's down on top of it and he's caught pulling everybody in together. It's we're in this together attitude, isn't it? He's really impressive, isn't he? Yeah. You see him in the suit, he looks great.
It's just time to give up. And you see Emery Chan is just like, you wouldn't even try to compete with anything.
Funny enough, I was talking to you or tweeting or texting you about it. I was watching him playing for Germany under 21s against England. Now they were beaten, but just that's when you really see the levels that he's at, because he's playing with lads his own age, and it was just like, it was too easy for him. It was like he was playing with 7 or 8 year olds. Did you watch it?
No,
he was streets ahead of everybody else. Like, if no one ever watched a football match before in their life and said who's the best player, that you just pick him because it was easy. I know that's getting away from the match.
I suppose looking at him in a back four as an orthodox centre back, Andy. Any chance you'd see a pairing with him and Sacco? Given that both of them like to come, you know, you'd naturally had a high line out of them because they both want to get up the pitch.
I think it's a bit of a pipe dream, to be honest. Like, I go on about wanting the back four. Out of the back four that played, I think only Moreno really is sort of deserved of being in the Liverpool back four at the moment, out of them four.
Really?
Yeah, like, Chan can have moments. You know, with two centre-halves, you don't really want, like, he does have kind of a moment every game. Like, you don't want that. You just want a solid two. And I don't think I want him there as the solid two. Like, you know, okay, he might do a job, you know, and Saka comes back to, you know, if need be. But long term, no. I mean, I think
keep that opinion. Right, for the preview, because I'll be back to you on that subject, right? So anyway, there's only two left now in the back four, and this is where the real fun starts. Lovren, he was getting pelters all over the shop for his 90 minutes. What was your own take on it, Paul?
I thought he had two massive brain farts. Other than that, I thought he did well enough. Obviously, you know, you don't want that. And I watched the match back on Sky as well. And I thought Carragher and all, they were dead right when they said, at the moment, with him trying to come back into the team, like, you want him to be, like, have, you know, a mistake-free 90 minutes. So it's a pain in the hole that he didn't have that, like, and, like, the penalty thing, I thought, like, Lee Mason was about 15 yards away from it. I was probably 115 yards away from it, and I went, oh, fuck. And then, you know, no whistle came, you're like, oh, jeez, you definitely, we were kind of saying, he's definitely just fucking lifted him out of it there, hasn't he? Like, me and all my mates are like, yeah, yeah, I'm pretty sure he has. And they showed it, like, in the pub after the match, and, like, it was madness. And then the routine kind of ball that was bouncing over the defence that was going into Mignolet's hands, and Lovren just headed it straight down to, it was a Perez, I think. That was, like, that was mental as well. Like, so he did have that kind of, the two moments of madness. But, like, I was watching him, and I think he has cut out a lot of the stuff, like, you know, where I felt at the start of the season, he was just focused on, oh, that's where the ball was. And if, like, if teams shifted the ball across the front of our defence, I thought Lovren didn't really move. Like, if he was in the centre of the box and they moved it out to the right, he never shifted over to the left. Whereas I felt that just kind of some more basic stuff, I thought he was getting right. He just needs to stop being a fucking, like, lunatic.
Andy, you've long thought he isn't as bad as people are making out. Anything change your opinion of that the other day? Or would you say that this is Lovren's level at this moment in time?
Yeah, like, I suppose it's just trying to believe in a fella, like, more than anything. I just, when you see a player getting so much stick and you don't think it's balanced, you try and find the positives. Now, like, there's just no excuse for them 2 moments, really, at that level. Like, you know, and I wonder, is he ever going to recover and become a Liverpool player? With things like that, I mean, what planet is he on? Like, doing things like that, it's inexcusable.
I think, like, you know, when you look at the whole this season as a whole, it looks awful that he did them, like, because he was so shite at the start of the season. But I think since he's come back, there hasn't been much of that at all out of him. I think they were the biggest two, probably.
I think he was all right, and I think against Blackburn wasn't where most people saying, oh, look. He did well. And he was actually doing grand up to the... which happened first?
The penalty.
So there was a bit of confusion going on there. And next thing, he just lost it for a while. Like, and you could see he was just in a frenzy. So, like, he was confused.
But is the worry with that, though, is that it spanned across the half-time break? You know, normally you'd say a fella gets back into the dressing room and gets his head back together at that stage.
Yeah.
But he came back out and he had another 15 minutes. And it probably leads me on to the bit that I'd mentioned to you in the agenda. That, like, it did take a small tactical change to allow him to regain his composure and regain some confidence, and that Lucas drops in between them.
Johnson was moved out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably doesn't give him an awful lot of confidence.
But he's able to then go back and just focus on, instead of having to be, say, a two in the centre backs, he's got a little bit more license that if he makes a mistake, there is two then to cover what's going on around him.
Maybe it is, maybe, I don't know, it's hard to say. He's certainly a player that suffers with confidence, like, and moments like that can destroy him. And, you know, like, you have it with Mignolet as well. You know, some players can just forget about it and move on, and then some players will destroy it. In fact, most players will destroy them, won't they?
Yeah.
So, like they were saying in Sky, you do need them to have a run of games where he does well, like, just a few, 6 or 7 or 10 games, and make him sort of believe, oh, I'm actually an all right player here again. Yeah. But in his heart and soul, he knows the moment he's been.
He's struggling, and
everyone's watching him. And that's not an easy thing. Sure, we all know, like, no matter what walk of life you're in or what job you're in, if you feel like people are watching you, you're going to make more mistakes.
Yeah, right, so go. Now let's get on to the main man, the defence. Recall as the right back, and straight in. Glenn Johnson. Before we start, let me just point out that was one of the worst performances I've ever seen as a right back, and I'm not even going to attempt to defend him at this stage. But I've gone past anger, and there is elements of just pure hilarity in what's going on. Paul, how enjoyable was it to watch him at the game?
It's rare that you'd see someone just so off the pace in absolutely nearly every time the ball came near him, whether it was defensively or someone just passing him the ball. It's just everything he did was just so completely off the pace. Like, he's in 30 yards of space or whatever, like, the ball's rolling to him, and, like, his body shape's wrong, his first touch is wrong, and then suddenly he's being closed down and he's giving away a throw or a corner. I almost feel sorry for him, because it's the sort of match where if you looked at him, you'd say, I wouldn't put him in the team again for a good long while. Uh-huh. But, like, I don't know what's happened with Rodgers and Mankeo. Obviously, the tactical, or the formation switch meant Mankeo didn't really have that much of a role for us. But if you're playing a flat back four, like, I don't know why you'd play Johnson. You know kind of at the game where you can keep an eye on them all the time. You just like it's like a complete disconnect from the rest of the team. Like he was playing like Newcastle's players, like rather than like a Liverpool player. Yeah. He was atrocious.
Yeah, he looks like a player who just doesn't care anymore.
Yeah, he doesn't. He doesn't give a shit. He doesn't care.
Yeah,
no. And like Paul said, there, he just liked the whole Newcastle team. He would have slotted into there lovely.
Yeah,
because he has no interest in it at all. He's leaving. He's going to Barcelona apparently. Apparently, he's according to his agent, right?
But I don't think they've had any talks.
But,
about
no,
him
but they haven't been talking. No one has spoke to anybody about anything. But he's gone there. But no, he's yeah. Listen, I don't know. We've said it all before. He's just a bag of shit, isn't he? He doesn't care. He's getting his wages at the end of the week. Happy days. I'm out here in the summer and I'm going somewhere where it's going to be warm.
Can you understand?
When I watch the back, like, you know, on Sky where the cameras, there's a close up of him after he's done something or whatever. I almost felt sorry for him because you could see him kind of going, Jesus, that was rubbish. Like, you know, he even got a tackle in on someone and then your man ends up on his arse or whatever and Johnson's like a kind of accidentally stumbles back into the ball and gives away a corner. And it's just, you know, proper like slapstick shite. Like, and they, like, you know, like, anytime the ball came near him, he's a bag of nerves. And like, you give away a throw, and the camera just goes up in his face, and you could see him just kind of like shaking his head internally, going, what am I doing here? Like,
I think it's a little bit as well, is he, you know, we hear the crowd groaning when the ball forward, the ball even gets to him. I think he's just thinking to himself, I'm going to get lashed over here no matter what I do. Mm. So I'm just going to kick it away.
And I do have an element of kind of sympathy for him at this stage.
Yeah, we've said all about all of, you know, we can't say about him, and we're not wrong on this.
Mm.
Like, this isn't like
suddenly
happening. This has been brewing for years and it's just got progressively worse, and now, like, if a young fella came on the scene and he put in that performance, he'd never kick a ball for Liverpool again. And Rodgers, for some reason, like, just decided to play him. You would play anyone.
I can't figure that out though. Have you any idea why Rodgers keeps playing him?
I think there's an element that because we were so defensively frail in the first half of the season, he's probably backing experience when people are injured as opposed to putting in, say, younger players. And especially coming off the back of two defeats, he's probably looked and said, right, there's Mankeo, who's 19, who hasn't played in a while. And I've got Johnson, who's my experienced right back here, who, you know, is a former international. I'll probably just go for the experience over, because maybe he'll perform in this game. Well, like, the bit that I questioned the selection, like the stories were breaking that morning that that he wasn't going to, his contract wasn't going to be renewed and he was leaving at the end of the season. Mm. And for a player who looks like, whose form has dropped off since it's looked like he hasn't been getting a new contract, and his sort of self worth in terms of playing in the matches seems to have diminished massively since he hasn't been getting a new contract. You wonder why he continued to get selected, even that, because he just doesn't seem to have the fight in him anymore.
I'm just throwing it out there now. Is it anything to do with that supposed senior players having a go at Rodgers after the Arsenal match, that type of thing? He is obviously a saint. Now, listen, this is just a big surmise.
Mm.
I'm just wondering, do you think it's anything to do with that? Is he Rodgers trying to appease the group of players by playing him? I'm just trying to find a reason here why, because I honestly can't think of an honest to good reason.
I don't know. It's hard. I don't know whether it's appeasing senior players, because he's gone at the end of the season. So it's not somebody that's going to continue to be a voice in the dressing room or a dissenting voice in the dressing room around it. And you could easily park him if you had to.
I think it's more or less what we don't see.
Mm.
Like, he's picking him on the basis of seeing him in training, you know, every day of the week.
Head of subs.
And whatever personality Johnson has around the place.
Mm.
You know, he's picking on stuff we don't see.
Okay.
And he must be offering something more than he's offering on the pitch when around the place. I don't know. And again, we want say Mankiello to come in, but maybe he's not putting it in training. Maybe Rodgers is not satisfied that he can trust him.
Mm.
But Jesus, like,
yeah. Having said,
based on what we've seen on the pitch, I don't know how Rodgers could see it any other way.
Had he been sent off? Remember the row that was going on? Had he sent the two players off, it wouldn't have made any blind bit of difference on the game itself. No. It was like, all right then, yeah. Well, anyway, look, going on, anyway, we haven't touched on the midfield. Well, we briefly touched on in terms of Lucas and when he dropped in, the small tactical variation. But given the issues that we've had in the last couple of games in midfield, you know, not looking right, and even against Blackburn it didn't look right, this was a massive step up. Now, how much of that is down to Newcastle being poor and how much of that's down to us actually being good? But it looked like the players were on for that Newcastle match. And Lucas in particular, he went for the full 90 minutes, which was good to see.
Yeah. Now, they don't, doesn't matter who turns up on the day, you could see they did their job exactly the way you would want a midfield three to play. Mm. And I thought, out of the three, probably Lucas like was just, he did exactly for the whole 90 minutes. Exactly, you know, I thought Henderson was quite good, push forward or forward. Mm. Could be a bit of a future there, like depending on the shape they play, because he has the legs to get back and he's a ball in him. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And
his passing was brilliant.
He's no problem getting out wide and whipping a ball in, or you know, just if the game isn't, when they were kind of grinding out a small bit, like he kind of changed his game a little bit and got back and gave a dig out. So there's lots to be taken from it. And then Alan, scoring a goal and all.
Let's talk about the goal. What was it like? Was there a friss on a noise when it was all taking place? Was there a real buzz going on?
It was like, I was up the other end of the pitch for me, and like everyone was just like, "What was that, Joe Allen? Joe Allen just scored." And what you call it? Yeah, like I remember Lover nearly scored with a header. We were thinking, Jesus, we could have a clean sweep. All the weirdos scoring.
And Lucas's header in the first half as well.
Yeah, Jesus, that was some save from Cole as well. Because as soon as he made a contact with that, I was like, that's a goal. And then I always flagged offside for it, but Jesus Christ, that was some save. I thought the midfield did well. Like Henderson popped up kind of everywhere on the pitch. Like it's a proper all action performance from him. And Lucas, he was brilliant. Like he murdered Sissoko a few times, because like Newcastle weren't up to much at all. But Sissoko's the type of player, you know, like someone who can get on the ball and like kind of run 60 yards with it. And that, like, the, you know, like Diame, like it was like players like that that are basically like just big, like just big lads who just run with the ball, like big.
Can't knock them off.
They usually cause us trouble, but Lucas took him over a few times. And he, like, you know, that's the way Lucas kind of defends. Like it's kind of like he sees something happen and he runs in and just tries to burst the ball and the man at the same time. He's not someone who sits back kind of and subtly kind of guards the so like it worked really well. And Alan, like, steady Eddie performance from him and a goal.
Is this a common complaint this level at Alan, that when he plays well like he did against Newcastle, he looks a decent player, but the problem is that he either gets injured now in the next game and goes missing for two and it takes him three games to come back, or he isn't at the same level in the next game. He hasn't had that consistency of performance now.
I think the first thing is, and the Newcastle midfield was rubbish, but it was just first and foremost, but I think why, in my opinion, why him and Lucas had such a good game is because the between them two and the back four, the tactics were so rigid. I mean, it was obviously drilled into them. They hadn't, I don't think either of them had much freedom for what. They hadn't much freedom about. So when we hadn't got the ball, when the ball was in a certain area of the pitch, they had to be in a certain position of the pitch as well. Like, for example, Lucas dropping in between the two centre-halves and then Alan drops back a little bit deeper. And then when we got into possession, then they had they had predetermined positions to be in as well. So with that freedom taken away from them, they followed the game plan exactly, and I think, that's in my opinion, that's why their performances were so good. I think when you give them a little bit of freedom between the two of them, they'd be running around a little bit headless.
Yeah,
and then Henderson of the midfield was the one that had the freedom because he was getting involved up front. So, the two of them were really impressive because they stuck to the game plan rather than anything else, I think. And I suppose there is a reflect. You have to think of what they were playing against as well. I mean, didn't care.
Okay. Right then, let's move into the preview of the FA Cup semi-final. The semi-final. This is a big match at Wembley. Not to be buzzing on the way down to Wembley, Anfield South.
Yeah.
So, lads, Timmy Tactics, Villa on a bit of a run of form after beating Spurs at the weekend. Are we nervous?
Yeah, of course. This is our season now, really. To not get to the final now again against Villa
for Stevie's final.
Yeah, it would be like, I know you don't care about that cup and all that, but we're here now.
I'm a huge fan of the FA Cup.
I know, but it's the FA Cup semi final, and Liverpool is about winning trophies, and there's an opportunity here, and I think it will do Rodgers the world of good if he can win a trophy. So for me, I just think it's huge, I'd be absolutely devastated if they don't beat Villa, because it would be just an insult to everything. We've been breaking our shit laughing at him, even, you know, for whenever he started, when he took over Spurs, like, you know, a couple of years. And Jesus, like, it'd be just So I'm very nervous, just for that very reason. Nervous of what could happen. But yeah. I think we win comfortable enough.
Yeah.
I think that, yeah, they've well enough. And whatever about Liverpool on Monday, kind of not looking up for it because they're probably looking up for it because they don't believe they can finish top four. They certainly believe they can win the FA Cup. And we should see a team that's well up for it. Okay. They'll be up for it, but quality
should shine on the day. Neil, are we out? What's your take on this, especially with Villa? Andy's right. It's Tim fucking Sherwood, right? You don't want. You just have to win this game, no matter what, no matter by any means necessary. You don't want this fucker in an FA Cup final.
No, but he's getting his day in the sun in Wembley anyway, isn't he? He'll be nearly happy enough with that and say, "We're leading the team out of Wembley and all that."
He'll be expecting a trophy if they win the semi final.
I'd say he's made the space on his cabinet and the gaff and everything for it.
He will do the steps of Wembley if they win in the semi final.
Say, what are you fucking doing up here? I can tell. I expect us to win, like Andy said. I honestly do. Yeah. And I personally think Sturridge was rested. I don't think he's injured at all. I expect him to start on Saturday.
Mm.
Is it Saturday or Sunday?
Sunday.
Yeah, I expect
Saturday. Because isn't the Arsenal game Sunday?
No, it's Sunday.
It's Sunday, isn't it?
But I expect us to win. And like Andy said, quality should shine through because we're a better team than them. But then at the back of your mind, you're always thinking, it is the magic of the FA Cup, isn't it? Okay. And it is a perfect fairy tale story for Sherwood to bring them to the final and win it, isn't it? I mean, that's the type of thing, you know what I mean? But I honestly can't see it happening.
There's a bit of a worry because, like, that situation at Villa is made for someone like Sherwood. Like, they don't need someone who's coming in, you know, given, well, this is the system that we're going to play. It's just, you know, some fucking sap going in, go, come on, lads, we're going to win this. He's just going to, like, just motivate the players. That's all they need. And it's, like, it's, in fairness, it's something that you, like, you'd say that probably his only strength, Sherwood, is like, kind of, that kind of charisma that he has. Like, where
charisma.
He could kind of get a bit out of the players that are in him more like that. And the other worry is that Benteke is coming back into form and, like, he does like to go in dry on us a bit, like, so. he's coming into form just in time to do that, like, so. That is a worry. But, yeah, like, you have to fancy us, really.
Right. So, we reckon we were going to win. So, now here's the bigger questions. We've got Stevie back. Is he eligible for this?
I think so. I was just thinking that.
It's only the league, isn't it?
He's coming back in, isn't he?
No, it's not just the league.
It's three games are up,
yeah. Skirtle's back. Do they go straight in?
Skirtle certainly does, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Stevie? How do we set up? No, Stevie doesn't.
No. Not even like, you know, FA Cup semi-final. His last chance to get down before the final.
You have to remove yourself. Like, he let us down big time against United. Lasted less than 60 seconds on the pitch.
So this is punishment, is it, for the United?
No, it's not punishment. It's just, he can't be trusted at the moment. Like, he played with beans all over the show. He wanted to smash a player up more than stay in the pitch for the team, you know, and try and see that game right. Now, like, if Gerrard is too worked up, you know, to handle a game like the semi-final and not just wanted to kind of be about his own personal.
If he wants it to be to get Liverpool to the final, that's what you want.
I want a team that's competent to win, and I just don't feel Gerrard has performed at all this season, and that would be deserving of a place for sentimental reasons.
Yeah, look,
now, if the season goes on and comes to the final now, we play our six remaining league games and Gerrard is in the team and he deserves his place in the final by all means, but geez, you can't just put him in to the starting line. Bring him on. It'd be grand. Half an hour or whatever.
Yeah, like, well, we're running out of kind of reasons as the season we're on to keep him in the team based on merit. Like, and one of the only things, like, you know, the kind of stock cliche that even, you know, people in the media say, oh, it's a big game, you have to put Gerrard in for his experience and all, like, that kind of went out the window in the United game. Like, it's one of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen. So, like, I don't think there's really a reason, like, a justification for putting him in at all. Bar, like, say, like, as Andy says, in the last few league games or something, there's a few injuries and he gets in and play as well, then if we did get to the final, maybe. But, like, there's no way he gets in the team.
Okay, given that we're saying, right, Skirtle comes back in, who's going in?
Well, Johnson. Obviously.
No, that's what I'm asking. Are you going to a back three?
I think Rodgers has a lot hanging on this personally, because since the season started, he's been saying, we're going to win a trophy.
Okay. Yeah, so that's personally,
he's a lot hanging on it.
That's accepted. Right, what I'm saying is, we're saying that Skerter goes back in, right? Mm. We're saying Johnson comes out. So, back to a back three at the back. No, Andy, that leads us back to what you were saying.
You could play Chan there, right back.
Would you?
Yeah. No problem. Like, he played a bit of left back for Leverkusen, didn't he?
Yeah, and he's played a bit of right back when we've changed.
When we've had to. Yeah. So, yeah, no problem. It might suit him, you know, you get forward.
Okay, so I don't think any of us will disagree with seeing Skirtle back in there. It's how you set up. Do you go three at the back and maybe push Oyd back as a wing back?
Yeah, I mean, like, I wouldn't have, as much as I want to see a back four, I don't think they're ready really for it, because we don't have a back four that you can be trusted. So absolutely, yeah, you could bring it, go back to that and play Oyb wing back, or bring in Markovic or whatever. It's hard to know. I'd have to really look at it, you know, with Skerter coming back and Gerrard and all, like, you know, there's more players available and Sturridge as well, maybe. Yeah. So
no, and that's what I'm saying. I know we were saying the performance was a bit weird, but when you look at the Newcastle game, we were better as an attacking unit the way we set up.
Yeah, but I think Newcastle were never going to hurt us. You know, the only people who are going to hurt us on Monday was ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, by making mistakes. Now, Benteke could punish mistakes.
Yeah, but like at the same time, that Villa team, you know, the likely Villa team that they sent, like, it's going to be cleverly Delph and Sanchez in the centre of the park.
You know, does Sanchez not get sent off? So he might be out for that.
Maybe he is. Yeah. I'm not 100% sure. I don't really follow Villa because I don't follow Villa's games. No. I only follow Timmy on the sideline.
Manager Cam.
Manager Cam, just a focus on Timmy to see what he's. Gillet on this week, Gillet off. Gillet on. But again, looking at it, like, you're going back to your point about Newcastle and the lack of quality, and we all know there's a lack of quality there, right? It's no different with Aston Villa, surely.
Well, they're pulling results here and there, and they've got Benteke, who's certainly better than what Newcastle had to offer up top.
Okay, so Benteke is really the only threat.
Agbon Lahore's a lot of pace.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah, Agbon Lahore's done damage before. No, it's just as a unit. Like, you've seen fucking Villa as a unit. Like, they're not necessarily full of superstars, but...
If this was a league match, would you be nervous?
No, certainly not. Like, not as nervous. Because, like, you know, you drop points in a league game, you just continue on. But that's it then, you know. Don't be the... You know, the season is pretty much finished unless a miracle kind of happens and we can...
The only problem is that, like, you know, if we do play the back three, like, in recent games with that, like, teams have made the midfield look really square. Like, it's really hard to pass it into the midfield that has been. And I think with, like, Villa have a lot of spoilers, like Cleverley and Delph, who are just like, they're not going to do much with the ball.
But they will. They're put themselves around.
Like, yeah. And so, like, and they'll get around us. So, I don't know, like, maybe a midfield three would be better. Because I think, like we were talking about, Allen's kind of upturn there, and like compared to the game, the recent games, and like I think a lot of that is, I think he looks more comfortable in a tree rather than, you know, when it's two people sitting together and you can press onto him. Like.
Yeah.
So leaking goals though, Villa, aren't they? I mean, under Lambert they didn't concede a fair goal, and they weren't scoring. So we're turning that around, but now it's vice versa. Now they are conceding goals, so I think we're well good enough to take a couple of our chances against them.
Okay, so we're all saying Skirtle back in. Well, obviously Lovren stays.
Yeah, just about.
Okay.
Kind of because he has to, you know.
You wouldn't consider
Sacco.
I'll go back to my earlier point in terms of Skirtle and Chan as your two centre backs.
Yeah, it's probably now more risky than Skirtle and Lovren, really. But no.
I don't know. I'd be on your side defensive. I think I'd rather see Chan in there at the moment in terms of, because otherwise we're pushing.
So Chan plays left centre back.
Yeah. That's where he's played. When he's played as a centre back, he's predominantly played there.
But hasn't he had a few dodgy moments, like in the back three when he was on the left of it?
Yeah, but I suppose it's
when he has played as a centre back.
Yeah.
In a two.
Yeah.
You mean not for Liverpool though?
No.
Yeah. Okay. See. You watched a lot of him before he came to Liverpool. I watched none of them.
Mm.
So, Jesus, like, I mean, if you're saying and you've watched him and he's done well.
My thinking on it is, going back to your point about Lovren and not being able to get a 6 or a 7 out of 10, right? You're going to Wembley, you want somebody who's going to be able to get on the ball at the back and makes good passes. But now, normally you'd say, well, that's Sacco, right? And you have Sacco and Chan there, both of them get the ball. They're more than capable of playing it out from the back or stepping in and doing something. If we go with Skirtle and Lovren, we don't have that same capability. And, you know, an awful lot of our good attacking play has stemmed from one of the centre-backs stepping in and starting the attack off. Because going back to your point, Paul, when they've stepped in, you're saying that the midfield tends to be very flat when we play with the four in there and there's three at the back. That creates the space for them to push on and give different angles on the ball. I suppose that's just my thinking. I always like to see one ball playing centre back, and I don't see who the ball player is between.
I think the whole idea with it, when we were conceding goals at the start of the season, the whole idea with the three centre halves was that if you've three centre halves there, kind of, you're legitimising the other mistakes the other two guys are playing. I mean, like if Andy was saying, there's a mistake and there's two Ricketts and Lovren every game, and there's possibly a couple in Cannes with the three of them there. It negates that possibility a little bit, you tend to be seen a little bit. So it has a bit of validity in it. That all right, I wouldn't have a problem with that. Actually, come to think of it,
you make it sound like you dress up lovely there. Yeah, I think if it happened and we've seen evidence of it, then okay.
Mm.
And it does sound like, you know, going forward, like a great partnership, having Chan back there and he's playing football from the back out, and, you know, we've other players in midfield. He doesn't even have to be in there because they're going. It sounds great
because
you wouldn't miss him at the back as well.
Mm.
Haven't seen him back there. Like he kind of has become something you enjoy seeing at the back, Chan, and the way he can come out and the way he can use the ball and he can pop up then a bit further up the pitch as well. Like, and he's done it. So it sounds great. But are you going to try that out on Sunday?
Mm. No, I hear you.
But it's,
of course, you are. You're a lunatic who doesn't give a shit about the FA Cup.
I love the FA Cup. And I'm on record of saying I care about it when we get to the semi-final.
It's unlikely he's going to try out something like that. I mean, I don't think Rodgers probably felt that's the end of Lovren after that game on Monday. Because you would have seen, aside from the two mistakes, you would have seen more evidence of he's actually okay, you know. We're starting to see a player who's starting to feel a bit more comfortable and a bit more confidence himself.
Okay then, so Paul, line up, what is it for you?
Fucking knows. I'm Skirtle and Lovren, that sounds like a nightmare, like, because of, you know, the way they started the season. But at the same time, like, I don't want, like, you know, you're talking about, like, having, you know, like, Chan there in at the back as someone who's stepping out with the ball now. But, like, for me, the bread and butter of going forward is, like, with the midfield, passing it. And I just think the last few times that we have, like, tried to play three at the back with two in midfield, it's just, it hasn't worked. It's too easily negated, even if Chan is there. So I probably would try and go 4-3-3. Yeah, it is a nightmare trying to pick, like, a centre half combo.
Who's starting up top for you?
What's up? I'd probably keep it the same, actually. The fluidity of the front three there that started Newcastle.
Yeah, I'm going for kind of 4-3-3. Flat back of Moreno, Lovren, Skirtle, and then right back Chan. Right, that means Johnson's nowhere near. So straight away, and then midfield again: Henderson, Allen, and Lucas, and up top Coutinho, Sterling, and it's a live cup. This actually, So Markovic. It doesn't sound so great now. If Sturridge is fit, then Sturridge has to go in. But I actually would like to see a busier, harder working front three. They cause problems when you have the fellas that aren't, you know, like, they
aren't static.
Yeah. You know, Sturridge, just, I won't say he's lazy, but he's not like the other, you know, the other lads are going to be working for your game. Like, whereas Sturridge does a little bit of trotting out here and trotting out there. Look, if he was Sturridge that was scoring lots of goals and he was producing magic, I'd be straight back in. I'd be saying disregard the fact that he doesn't work his balls off, but he's not really give us that. That's if he's fit, then maybe come in off the bench. So I'd have to look across the front three. again, because you know Jordan Ibis cup tied. Who else could come in? Lallana is injured as well, isn't he?
It's Markovic or Sturridge or putting Stevie into that front three.
No.
Okay. Neil, any changes to Andy's?
I'd go three at the back. I mean, that's the formation that got us out of trouble and got us the run of results we were on. You know, I mean, we were in the mire and we went three at the back and everything seemed to fall into place. That's what I'd go with. I mean, it's just if we were playing three at the back, Zach would get injured, Lover would come in for him. So Skirtle is a mainstay in that for me. So I'd go three at the back and I'd bring Sturridge in as well.
Okay. So, how many do we win by?
One. I'll go 2-1.
Yeah.
I think we'll score 3 goals.
Yeah, I think it's going to be tight win. So, 1-0 or 2-1 sort of thing, yeah. I just don't see... There's nothing to suggest that Liverpool are going to go out and destroy Villa. So, there's no point in just sort of shouting out mad scores. Like it did against United.
To be Paddy Power there, 3-0. No, I didn't. I do expect us to score three, at least two anyway.
Okay, so tight win for the two boys. Neil is going with
a considerable win,
and I reckon we'll win 3-1.
I am Lou Schwarre. You are listening to Trippers Chat.
Okay, Trev's not here to do Trippers Chat, so
it's not the same.
Maybe we'll just see if Trev can ask the questions.
There's no excuse for not being here.
No, there's nothing wrong with him this week.
No.
He's just sitting at home scratching his hole in the study.
Yeah.
Refusing to take pictures of it. That's really what he's doing. Let's be honest about it. Will I ring him to see if he'll ask the questions for us?
Go on.
Because I don't get the same kick out of this fucking house in my leg.
No.
Right then, fuck it, come on. We get this done. Okay, first one up from Nick Wall. He asks, which Liverpool player would have the best WWE finishing move and what would Rodgers' be? Neil.
I don't watch the WWE because it's a lot of shit. And I'm maybe 30s.
That's a great fucking help.
Which is another thing. I'm maybe 30s.
Cheers, you prick, for answering the same. I'm doing a Trev Scorpy Stroppy stuff.
So what would Rodgers' be?
What would Rodgers'
finishing
move be?
He'd be a member, man.
He'd have to be talking someone so much shit that they just drop.
They just drop?
Yeah. It bends their ear to the point that they just drop on the ground and that's it, they're out cold.
The figure four eardrop.
Pascal. Could put his nappy on and sit someone.
Beat them down with a giant rat.
Where the fucking I don't understand this one. So this should be really helpful. What do carnival, and I'm assuming carnival people do when there's no carnivals on?
I don't, well, they've big hands and they smell like cabbage. It's a fact.
Like, there's always carnivals on. Like, just because there's no carnival in your town doesn't mean there's no, they're all over the shop going to the own carnival.
Right then, the Weinberg asks, who is your favourite love-hate player in world football? And I'm going to put in excluding Liverpool players.
This has to be Rio for you.
Yeah, I'd say so. He gives you enough ammo, doesn't he, Rio Ferdinand?
In fairness, you haven't mentioned Rio in a good while now at this stage.
He's fallen off the radar since Stan Collymore threatened to tell his missus who he's been riding on Twitter, so.
Did he do that?
Yeah. Because he was, remember, Stan Collymore was having an argument with some other no mark, fucking Carl Henry or something like that.
Yeah.
And Rio Ferdinand jumps in, you know, well done, Carl, winding him up. And Collymore says something like, oh, I know, like, you know, some player who played with you as well wouldn't like to tell your missus the stories he's telling you about you. Ferdinand didn't tweet for about another week. Completely shut him up. So, yeah, but he's off the radar a bit now, old Rio.
Yeah. Andy?
No one really springs to mind, sorry.
There's no one that you fucking hate, but you love hating them.
Which is an awful lot of it, but most of the people are celebrities or ex-footballers I hate. I just hate them and I'd rather they disappeared. I don't enjoy the hate.
So, no.
Pat Nevin, for example.
Jason Roberts asked, is it possible to have a poo without doing a wee at the same time?
What do you mean? Oh, beans. Oh, yeah, yeah. I was like, where the fuck did you make that connection from?
No, it's not possible.
There's always at least a dribble comes out. Even if you have a piss and, you know, you kind of decide to treat yourself to a shit. Actually, yeah, I'll have a shit as well now. And you sit down, there's always a bit more comes out.
It'd be a waste of a visit to the Jacks as well. Like, you know, if you want to be economical
four.
About your day, you may as well sort it out there.
Start it all up.
There's Andy. He looks happy. He must have got a piston with his shit. Looks delighted with himself.
I won't have to go back now.
Or that when you're standing up having a piston and you need a shit, and you say, oh, I need a shit now, and you have to go try and get your trousers down here. How am I going to manage this? There's going to be piss everywhere. So then, no, maybe that's just me.
Do you never have a dehydrated one, like, you know, when you've had way too much to drink and then you just can't piss anymore the next day?
Ah, no.
No?
Deep lying medical issues there, Phil. No,
I think you might want to see a doctor.
Talk to Andy.
No, you couldn't. You couldn't.
You couldn't?
No. Don't mind, have you?
Have I?
Yeah.
Obviously.
Well. Yeah, like, not all the time.
Do you know when I have it, say? Do you know when you're getting the camera up the jacksy?
No, because I've never had one up the jacksy. No.
Well, you should do. What age are you now?
I'm still only 37, mate.
Yeah, no, you should. Like, early signs of colon cancer and all, like, you know, there's you can get polyps and all that. No harm known if they're there.
Yeah.
So get the camera up the jacksy.
There's been nothing wrong about my fucking my constitution.
I don't know.
But anyway, the prep for that is fairly bad. So you're given a load of medication and
you're not just selling it, Andy.
You're just
I've had an enema.
Well,
that's not like the prep for it, is it? That's a
yeah, but an enema is when they force up the hole. Mm. No, this is like you drink a solution.
Your man said he was a doctor.
You drink a couple of litres of solution that you mix, you know, with a powder and water, and then there's other stuff you take with it, but you're literally just in and out of jacks for the whole day and you're just pissing out your ass.
So you don't destroy the camera.
It has to be clean, like, you know what I mean? sticking cameras.
Just wedging it up.
No, keep pushing.
You throw a big ghosty up there.
Big load of beans and peas at the
top. Just sitting there, festering, with the sausage that was dipped in the beans.
It's Phil's admin time. As ever, a big shout out to the guys in the Astro Park who let us record here every week. If you need to play some football, five-a-side football or whatever, get on to them and tell Del Tippin the Day Tripper sent you. I'm sure he'll give you a nice little discount. Keep your eye on the AIP Twitter account, because that app is going to be launching soon and you will find us on there. And we will have that special show once the app is launched. But nothing until then. But so keep an eye out. We'll give you more details as it is, and we'll be up on our own feed as well. So for the second last time, it's myself, Phil, here saying goodnight to you all. I've been joined by Andy Young, Neil Gray and the irrepressible Paul Brennan. This is The Trippers. It was a little bit more somber, but we'll be back next week. Keep listening.
He just doesn't give a bollocks.
He
gave two passes, right? Where he tried to play it down the line, but like, and it was hard to see who he was trying to hit, because, like, you know, you're right behind it and you're like, that was only going to hit that Newcastle fullback. Like, I don't know where that was going.
I just couldn't get over it. Like, I didn't understand the selection. That was of all the players that he selected, like, back four, playing him, and they literally ignored him the first half.
There was a bit of that, wasn't
Emre
there?
Can was essentially playing right centre back and right back, and I was coming in and covering when fucking Can had to go in at the centre. And we're just pretending he wasn't
the
there.
Ball, like he was like, well, Johnson's there, so I'll probably just dribble him. He's like, I won't bother passing him.
No, he'd get on the ball and he'd run past Johnson and then he'd pass it to Oyeb. And it was just like.
See, his agent was at that crack again from the link of the Barcelona, did you see that?
Who, Johnson?
Yeah.
To Barcelona.
Because Dani Alves is leaving. You know, the same quote he did about Roma, we haven't spoken to them and they haven't spoken to us. But we're thinking about Barcelona and what?
Of course they haven't spoken to me either.
Yeah, that's the same.
Oh, he's quality. Remember his inside knowledge on the football? Oh, it was genius.
He had a tip that there was a match getting thrown.
There was a match getting thrown. And getting beaten 2-0 for like 3 minutes.
Where's this come from? A fella. Who? Where is it coming from? And it turned out it was some Facebook page. that a group of equally minded fucking mokes got together.
That somebody is in there going, fuck, I'd say I'm thinking of it. I've got a tip, there's a match being fixed in Argentina, right? And he was there. I heard about this, lads. What's going to happen is they're going to go 1-0 up, and then it's going to be 1-1, and then it'll be a penalty.
We all got excited because that team went 1-1 up.
Yeah.
But sure, someone has to go 1-1 up. 50-50. It's like, you know, women that go around predicting the sex of a their mate's pregnant.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, oh, it's a boy, and then it's a boy, and everyone's like, whoa! Fucking hell! You got it right.
How did you know?